First, to set the scene for today's edition of Food Friday and to set the table, a little Cajun music. That's the Beau Soleil Quartet performing at the Library of Congress. And on this week's edition of Food Friday, we're going to talk about Cajun cooking. Melissa Martin is a native of South Louisiana and chef at the Mosquito Supper Club restaurant in New Orleans. Her new cookbook out is called Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. Melissa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, I love your cookbook. There's a lot of recipes, of course, but there's a lot of stories, too, including your own upbringing. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood experience was eating on the bayou?
Well, I grew up in a tiny fishing village of about 3,000 people in Chauvin, Louisiana. We're located about an hour and a half southwest of New Orleans, right on the Gulf of Mexico. And all of my family were fishermen, so we pretty much just ate what we caught out the waters. So oysters, crabs, crawfish, lots and lots of shrimp were the ingredients that my mom cooked our daily meals with.
And in your book and at your restaurant, I understand you are trying, again, not just to serve up food, but to share the story of the people and the place. And it's bittersweet in some ways, as you say in the title, A Disappearing Bayou. Can you talk about your love of the region and your worries about it?
Yeah, I mean, we live right on the Gulf of Mexico, and so we have seen our state lose as much land as the state of Delaware. And so it's disheartening to think about what the future might be for this area in South Louisiana. And so we try to preserve the food by sharing it at our restaurant. We tell the stories of growing up on the bayou. And when we said disappearing, you know, recipes from a disappearing bayou, you know, it's not only land loss, but also, you know, losing a lot of traditions and cultures as, you know, generations of people pass away. There's such a shift and you lose so much. We've lost a lot of our French-speaking culture on the bayou as, you know, my grandparents who only spoke French passes away and, you know, things start to change. So there's a lot of shift happening in these areas in South Louisiana, and we try to bring you pieces of that in the restaurant in New Orleans.
And in your cookbook, and I think in your restaurant, you're not just doing Cajun dishes that, you know, might have reached us here in Wisconsin, the big flashy stuff we might see on TV. I get the impression that if I showed up at your house and you were making dinner, your cookbook, this is the kind of stuff you might serve to a guest.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to serve just the stuff that you could get if I took you down to my mother's house on Bayou Petit Caillou. And what she would serve us on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Sunday, just the basic foods that I grew up. We definitely put some dishes on the table that just are inspired that my mother didn't serve, but we're not trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel and make these dishes fancy in any way. We're trying to serve them the way that these women made them and preserved them so that whenever you come to this restaurant, you really get that authentic experience.
Can you talk about some of the traditions that came together that have turned into the Cajun food we know today?
I guess we can talk about gumbo. You know, I say in the cookbook that gumbo is sort of synonymous with Cajun food and Creole food, but you know, the gumbo that we know has come from so many different places in the world. Gumbo is the French word for okra. The gumbo that I cook definitely has roots in Senegal in Africa. Okra was brought to the United States by the slave trade, by slaves, and then planted. And then, you know, they sort of set the stage for how we would for growing okra and then how we would use okra. And so the gumbo, that's very important to me. You know, there's it has a direct link back to this place and this story, which is pretty important today being Juneteenth. And it's like that with most of the recipes in the book. Louisiana, there wasn't so many things that were native to Louisiana. Certainly the seafood was. But just like my grandmother's oyster soup, you know, she learned to use garlic when she came to New Orleans and met some Sicilian ladies. You know, so if you think about where the tomatoes are from or where the garlics are from, the roots are from, are spread all over the world. They just all kind of get shared down on the bayou and down in South Louisiana. And then this food becomes a hybrid of so many different nations. Which is exciting. It's exciting to learn the roots of all these different ingredients and, you know, how it makes its way to South Louisiana and then how it becomes quote unquote Cajun, you know, or Creole. And then also to acknowledge how it becomes when it's really something that's very, you know, simple and, you know, delicious. And that was sort of preserved by these women cooking it, women of all different nationalities.
We're talking to Melissa Martin, author of the new cookbook, Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. There's a lot of variety of flavors in your cookbook, Melissa, but what are some of the key flavors and spices that come up a lot in your cooking?
So definitely the Trinity, bell pepper, onions, and celery. We start almost every savory dish with. My spices are salt, pepper, cayenne, and hot sauce, and a bay leaf. Every once in a while, we sneak garlic in there. But if you have those basic things, you can make almost every, and the seafood, then you can make almost every savory dish in the book. You have to get tough with cutting onions because we use sort of an obscene amount of onions to make our dishes. And they're sort of the basis of so many things. So always four parts of onion to like one part bell pepper.
Now, you've shared a few recipes with us. We've got these up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's start with a bean recipe. You've got a lot of bean dishes in there, and you've got just a pretty straightforward one for white beans. Talk us through this.
Yeah, and so that's one of my very favorite beans is white beans. We use Camilla beans down on the bayou. You can also use Rancho Gordo. I specifically like the little cannelli beans. And that recipe can get started very quickly with some salt pork and beans and a little bit of onions in a big pot and some water, and you're sort of on your way. It's like a very uncomplicated recipe, and it's going to be super delicious in the end, and you can eat them all week. I like to have white beans with maybe some fried fish or some fried shrimp, but you can also have it with a pork chop if that's what you like. But it's a great dish in its own, or it's a great side dish to have all week long. We always have white beans with jambalaya, so I always say if I have to have a last meal, it's going to be jambalaya, white beans, and something fried. So.
And a big part of a lot of the cooking is rice, and I feel like I'm pretty good at boiling rice, white rice, but you've got a step in your white rice preparation that I'd never heard of before. I think it's the last thing you do in it. What's the key to making a good boiled rice?
So rice is, my mom always boiled rice. She learned that from my grandmother on the Martin side. And you boil your rice the same way you boil pasta. So you get a big pot of water with some salt in it up to a nice boil. Taste your water, make sure it tastes like the sea. And then you put your rice in and you boil it for 12 minutes. And then you strain it the same way you would strain pasta, give it a little quick cold water rinse, and then put it on a pan so that it cools off and doesn't get sticky. And it's kind of a foolproof method for cooking just like, you know, regular white rice, not sushi rice or not brown rice. You would need a lot more time for brown rice, but just like, you know, the classic white rice that we ate. And one of the things about boiling rice is that it is really good as leftovers after, whereas if you steam rice, it might have a little bit more crunchiness to it and you have to get it back in the pot and kind of steam it again. But the white rice is really holds a lot of moisture and is really good as leftovers for the week.
We're talking about Cajun cooking with Melissa Martin, chef at the New Orleans restaurant Mosquito Supper Club, author of the new cookbook, Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite Cajun-style recipe, dish, or restaurant you'd like to share? Or do you have a question for our guest about cooking and life on the bayou? Do you have a memory of maybe visiting the region? Or did you live there, maybe even grow up there? This is part of the food you grew up with. Love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and head over to WPR.org/Food Friday for a few recipes from Melissa. We'll pick up this Food Friday conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Melissa Martin, author of the new cookbook, Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. You can join the Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about Cajun cooking? Maybe about cooking and buying shrimp, crabs, oysters, crawfish? Looking for some advice on peeling or eating any of those? Do you have experiences with any of these kind of dishes you'd like to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Melissa, let's get to the seafood. I hate to break it to you. Here in Wisconsin, we don't have access to stuff that's quite as fresh as you're going to have down there. Do you have any advice for us on how to make sure we're getting, say, if we're buying shrimp, that we're getting good stuff?
Well, if you buy shrimp, I would just buy it from the same place I get it, which is Anna Marie Seafood, which you can go to annamarieseafood.com and get the same product that I use in my restaurant. I use shrimp from a couple of different shrimpers, but he ships worldwide. And whenever I do events outside of Louisiana, I always use him. Or you could use a place like Seat a Table, which is a very respected seafood purveyor. Look for people who are doing things sustainably, who aren't bringing together farm-raised stuff. You want to get sustainable domestic seafood. And I would just make some space in your freezer. And then make a seafood order. Get yourself some shrimp and maybe some fish and a couple other things and have it in your freezer so that whenever you're ready to cook something, then you have something there. We always would buy about 500 pounds of shrimp and we would take all the heads off and then we would freeze them to have for a couple of months. So shrimp freeze really well. They don't lose their integrity, and then you can have them there for, you know, any of your meals if you're experimenting.
Let's get to a meal. You shared a recipe with us for a fried soft shell, shrimp. Could you tell us how to fry up that shrimp?
So soft shell shrimp are really, really delicate. So I think I'd say in the book that you want to be really careful with them. And you can actually get those online through Anna Marie Seafood. And we always just make a really easy egg wash just with some egg, maybe a little bit of mustard, maybe some hot sauce, a little salt and pepper. Pass your soft shell shrimp in the egg. And with one hand, we call it your wet hand. And then put it into your dredge mix. I think for the dredge mix, we're using cornmeal and cornstarch. And we do that because we have so many gluten-free people that come to the restaurant. But you could certainly use flour and cornstarch or flour and cornmeal. Season your dredge mix with a little bit of salt, pepper, and some cayenne. And, get your shrimp really covered in flour. And then just fry it up until it's golden. It doesn't take very long for a soft shell shrimp to fry. And then you can eat the whole thing so you don't waste the head. And they're such a delicacy.
Now, if we stock up on shrimp, maybe not the soft shell stuff, if we stock up on it, maybe not the 500 pounds that you get, give us a couple different ways that we're going to use this stuff out of the freezer.
Gumbo, jambalaya, shrimp. Stew, shrimp po' boys. Those are just a couple of things. Maybe you have a special occasion, you get some soft shell crabs and, you fry some soft shell crabs for some people. Maybe you get some crawfish tails in and you can do a crawfish etouffee or crawfish stew or crawfish rolls, crawfish hand pies, any of those things. I think that everyone should have a Louisiana theme party once a year, and then you can carouse the cookbook and get some ideas and you know, cook something authentic and traditional. And you don't have to follow the cookbook, you know, all the way. It's really just a guide. So say you want to make white beans and you don't have the salt pork. Well, you can use bacon or, you can use a ham hock or you can use something else. And you can also make them vegetarian. The cookbook really is a guide to sort of help you feel the steps of how we would do it. And then you should definitely explore and experiment.
It's Food Friday. Melissa Martin is with us, author of the new cookbook, Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. Melissa, let's talk okra some now. You've mentioned it and using it in gumbo. Growing up, I couldn't have picked out okra in a lineup. Now I love it. We can grow it here in Wisconsin. I can't. I've already killed my okra plants somehow. But a lot of people, and you write about this in the book, a lot of people think okra, slimy, gross, don't want it. Talk to them, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even my mom growing up was kind of horrified watching her dad eat okra out of a bowl. But now we, of course, embrace it. I mean, I love pickled okra. You can just slice okra and fry it straight in oil, and it's delicious. You can dredge it the same way you do the soft shell shrimp and fry it, and it's delicious. We take our okra and we smother it all day long until we have this okra paste, and we use that to make our gumbos. But it's really, really versatile. We just did a dish, oven roasted, shrimp and okra, which was also just pretty incredible. It's also really good raw. Using some acid to cut the slime of okra is really good when you're cooking it for a long time. That acid could be vinegar, it could be lemon, it could be tomatoes. But okra is just one of those really, really, special plants. It's also, you can eat the whole plant. So I didn't add any recipes for that, but it's kind of one of those nose to tail plants where everything,
like the leaves and everything,
about it. Yeah. And even a long time ago, people brewed coffee. They made a beverage that was like, when they couldn't get coffee, they used the okra seeds and they roasted them and they brewed that. There's actually a certain okra that's grown just for that purpose. There's also so many different varieties of okra. We could really just talk about okra.
And one more okra thing. Like, I've gone nuts for pickled okra lately, and I just buy it in jars at the store. But, you know, is it easy to make a quick, simple, like, fridge pickle of okra?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really encourage fridge pickles. I used to can a lot and, you know, do the whole processing and boiling my cans and everything. And I think I just got really lazy, and now I make a lot of freezer jams and I make a lot of refrigerator pickles. And okra is definitely one of those where you can just, you know, make yourself a little pickling liquid, put it in the fridge, and then just have a little bit in a couple of weeks. They'll have a really, really great flavor.
We've just got a few minutes left, and since we're toward the end here, let's talk about desserts. I saw some, I think some bread pudding and some others. What kind of desserts are your go-tos?
Well, right now, it's blackberry season here in Louisiana. So tonight, our restaurant is actually open. I'm at the restaurant right now, and so we'll be serving Papa's ice cream and blackberry dumplings. I love making these blackberry dumplings. I'm essentially dropping a wet biscuit dough into a cauldron of stewed blackberries. It makes this really delicious dessert that we serve with the ice cream. I also really love that bread custard recipe that my mom made. Really, really simple and easy to make, and has a really unique taste that a lot of people will eat it and they'll say, oh yeah, my mom made something like this. And, you know, they might be from Brazil or Argentina or different places. So it's kind of one of those recipes that's all around that people are making. Those are some of my favorite things to make.
And one theme in your book I didn't want to miss out on before we run out of time. You dedicate the book to your mom. You say that all the recipes in the book you learned from women. Can you talk about the role? You write, women are the backbone of the tiny village in which I was raised. They're the masters of sustaining and ensuring the survival of bayou communities. Talk about that focus of your book, please.
Yeah, I mean, my mom was one of, I think, six women and in her family, and I lived next door to my grandmother. And, I mean, the truth is that the men fished, but the men didn't cook. And so women helped out on the boats, and then, you know, the catch was brought in, and then the women around me cooked all the food. And they didn't necessarily help me cook the food when I was growing up, but I watched them work. I watched a production kitchen. I watched them saw what they did with the seafood. I watched them stretch food. And it's what is still happening down the bayou. I mean, my mom and my aunts, I mean, my grandmother's passed, my mom and aunts are getting older, but they still are cooking the same way. They still are feeding each other. They're still being fed by the food that my dad is catching and my cousins are catching and bringing in. And they still are. One of the reasons that what's so exciting in Chauvin is that because they didn't get so really experimental, they, you know, kept these traditions alive, then the food has sort of remained the same. And so I've been able to document it.
We'll leave it there. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you all so much. Have a good day.
You too. We've been talking to Melissa Martin. She's author of the cookbook and memoir named for her New Orleans restaurant, where we're letting her get back to work now. The book is called Mosquito Supper Club, Cajun Recipes from a Disappearing Bayou. You can find a few of the recipes that she shared with us today over at WPR.org/Food Friday. There's some fried soft shell shrimp. Harder to say than it is to eat. White beans, a great white bean recipe there. And then a really basic one that I got to try her method just for your basic boiled white rice. She does a couple few things different than I do, and I really want to check it out. We're going to go out in just a moment with some Zydeco music from Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.